1, 2, 3, 4.
Song Salad
with Shannon and Scott.
Welcome to Song Salad with Shannon and Scott.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
And together,
we're Shannon and Scott. Ooh, nice diction.
Thank you. Hi.
Hi. Last week was exciting.
Last week was very exciting. In case you missed it, we talked to Kevin Grady, aka
ICMY.
Oh yeah,
I mean,
that means
ICYM. Icky me. Icy my.
You're really good at abbreviations.
Abbreves, as they say.
Or we could just say, in case you missed it, check out our episode last week. Featuring our first guest-spert, Kevin Grady, a.k.a. Black Plastic, who is a dark wave artist, who was generous enough to let us copy his music.
Well, not copy. Try to
emulate.
Write in his style. Yes. Emulate is a good word.
Yes. And he was not ashamed. And there has been...
I thought we did a great job.
I think we did do a good job. I think we made, as Kevin put it, music that vampires would want to dance to.
Yes. And that's all we can ever ask for, isn't it?
Speaking of vampires.
Uh-oh.
Do we want to tell them what we did on Saturday?
Sure.
Guys.
It's a little off topic, but it was fun.
Guys. We went on a ghost hunt.
Not just a ghost hunt. An actual paranormal investigation.
Yes. At the Morris Jumel Mansion. In Harlem, in New York City, which is a huge historical mansion and museum, and also the former home of Aaron Burr.
Yeah. So a lot of history in that house, a lot of deaths in the house, and we sat there with the lights off after hours and used little like EMF detectors and tried to communicate with the dead. All for a good cause of historical preservation.
Yeah. And you know what, guys? I was skeptical, but the results were very inconclusive. So.
If I learned anything, it's that we know nothing.
We really know nothing.
But if you live in the New York City area, they do these a couple times a year. So check out the Morris Jumel Mansion. There are informations online, and they might be having another ghost hunt.
There's one
soon.
In July.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. I don't know. I just wanted to share that experience.
Well, you can listen to our sister podcast that we're launching soon. Ghost Adventures. Ghost Salad with Shannon and Scott, where we take a random person in history and imagine what it would be like for them as a ghost.
Great. Solid concept. A plus. What is the song salad?
Are we still doing this?
I don't know. You have to assume that every time we put out a podcast, it's somebody's first time listening to the podcast.
And that person has already stopped listening by now.
In which case, I'm sorry I went on that tangent about ghosts.
A song salad is a random topic from Wikipedia and a random genre from Mood Fuse combined to create a song.
Yes. Good. Good. Good job.
That's all you need.
Clap, clap, clap.
Thank you. Just thank you. For liking us on iTunes, subscribing, rating, and reviewing, and following us on Twitter.
At Song Salad Cast.
We've had a lot of SoundCloud activity lately too. Thank you to our SoundCloud listeners.
Yeah, we're every time we post an episode, we notice that it gets listened to more and more quickly, which is cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you say? We get our genre.
Let's go to moodfuse.com and spin the salad spinner.
Which didn't sound like anything last week.
No, it sounded like fear and trepidation.
Yes. So what's it gonna, can it sound like ghosts?
Today, the salad spinner will sound like ghosts.
All right. Oh, I was gonna be quiet because ghosts don't sound like anything because they don't exist.
What was that? Oh, I was just the wind.
You were a perfectly logical, natural explanation for the sound.
Oh, 8-bit.
8-bit.
Our genre is 8-bit.
All right, I'm going to say my line, which is, what's 8-bit?
Well, Shannon.
Oh, boy.
Well, this is
not 8-bit the right is like 8-bit. 8-bit is lots of things.
Here we go.
Oh, I think this is going to be like video game music.
Yep.
Ah!
A chiptune, also known as chip music or 8-bit music, is synthesized electronic music which is, one, made for PSG sound chips, real or emulated, used in vintage computers, consoles, and arcade machines, or, two, tracker format music which intentionally sounds similar to old PSG chip music, or, three, music that combines PSG sounds and modern electronica or EDM styles. So,
video game music.
But like the old timey, like original Super Mario kind of.
Yeah. Music.
That's fun.
Yay! I'm really excited about
that. I can tell because you're yelling.
I know. yeah, I'm super excited about this. And I'm also excited to hear what it might sound like combined with EDM.
Yeah. I don't know. We're going to have to do a little more research and get some examples of different types of 8-bit or chiptune.
Yeah.
Chiptune's fun.
Chiptune is fun.
Reminds me of, like, the planet Neptune, but made of potato chips.
Oh, it reminds me of Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers.
Ah. So we're just going to write the Rescue Rangers theme song.
Yes, but sounding like Super Mario.
They should do a Rescue Rangers video game.
There probably was a Rescue Rangers video game.
Yeah.
I'm going to Google it.
I'm going to read more about chiptune.
Cool. Yeah, 100% there are a bunch of different Rescue Rangers video games.
Well, I had the idea first. The original 8-bit music that was generated by consoles like Game Boy and the Commodore 64. The reason that it has sort of the distinct sound that it does is because all of the sounds were generated using basic waveform generators that were in those computer systems. And they could only generate certain types of like sonic waveforms.
Sure.
And those sonic waveforms were
bleep.
Bleep, bloop, bloop, blop. Yep.
Dilly-doo.
Pulse wave.
Okay.
Square wave.
Ooh.
Triangle wave. And sawtooth wave. And each of those waves had their own type of sound.
Okay.
And I'll give some examples. So this is a pulse wave.
Or a square wave.
That's a pulse wave. They're slightly different.
Oh, okay.
So that's pulse. This is square. Slightly different. A little less buzzy.
Mm-hmm.
This is saw. And this is triangle.
Oh.
And then this is a sine wave, which you might be more familiar with. And each of those is named after what the waveform, the sonic waveform, looks like. So the sine wave looks like, you know, the sine symbol in math class?
Yes.
Yeah, it looks like that. And the pulse is sort of like an uneven, boxy pattern. Square is like an actual even square. Saw is these kind of jagged lines. And the triangle is an actual triangle.
Is there a kitty wave?
Nope. No kitty wave.
You know what it would sound like?
Meow?
Yeah.
Although kitty wave is probably a style of music.
Probably is.
It was like shoegaze and dark wave and...
Kitty wave?
Kitty wave. So those were the basic sounds that could easily be generated by the early computing and gaming systems.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to just... like white noise generators, and those are the kind of things that would give like the percussion-y sounds, like the ch 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 was just like white noise.
Like when you would shoot your little spaceship or something.
Sure.
Yeah. The first video game that used a continuous background soundtrack was actually Space Invaders, which is a pretty classic game. And I'm sure that if you don't know what it looks like off the top of your head, if you go on YouTube and look up Space Invaders, it will jog your memory. It was a classic arcade game. And it was just four descending chromatic bass notes repeated in a loop. that would get faster and faster as the level went on.
Just to, like, get your heart rate going?
Yeah, yeah. And as the enemies got closer and closer to you. And then the first game that actually had a melodic background music during play was called Rally X, and that was in 1980. So Space Invaders was 78, Rally X was 1980, and it's a little, like, a race car game, and it just has a little melody where, I don't know, that could be our example.
Do you want to do anything? Sure. Well, we'll do that as an example. Then we'll do one that has a little bit more of a fully fleshed out compositional structure.
Maybe something a little more modern.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
So we're doing the theme music from Rally X, which was the first game with background music in 1980. So more on the history and the development of 8-bit music, and how it broke out of just video games. Basically, the heyday of this kind of music was in the 80s as video games became more and more popular. Mm-hmm. And also during the 80s, bands started to sample and use elements of these video game songs and just like sounds from these video game soundtracks in their music. There was even a song called Space Invaders in 1979, which was pretty popular, that like used that chromatic bass line from the Space Invaders game in it. And then there was kind of a break between the 80s and the early 2000s, mid-2000s, when it wasn't as popular, but it kind of made a comeback in the mid-2000s. And artists like Beck and The Killers, No Doubt, and the Postal Service all started sampling and using 8-bit and video game music in their songs. And even today, artists like Kesha with her song TikTok features 8-bit sounds, 50 Cent, Snoop Dogg, Eminem, Nelly Furtado. Like, it's pretty common to like use 8-bit elements in pop music now. But I think the stuff that we're going to write is going to focus more on entirely 8-bit music rather than just sampling 8-bit sounds.
So I saw that there's a whole album.
Oh, yes.
Of 8-bit music.
The album 8-bit Operators, The Music of Kraftwerk, was all covers of songs by Kraftwerk by different 8-bit artists.
Huh.
So here's an example of one of those. The song is called The Robots, Die Roboter by Bacalao.
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 So far, no mention of lyrics there, Shannon.
Yeah, yeah, I'm working on it. I'm following a couple promising leads into some very interesting little holes in the internet.
Yeah, I think we're going to have to bend the rules of traditional 8-bit a little bit to get some vocals in there.
Maybe. So maybe it's a good day for a bad topic?
Maybe. Should we get one?
Yeah, let's get one, and then I can talk a little bit later about
all right.
Stuff.
Let's spin the salad spinner and bring back our ghost friends.
Okay.
Squeak. Cockbridge.
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 Aberdeenshire.
Cockbridge is a settlement in Aberdeenshire, Scotland, on the A939 road near Corgarf and Corgarf Castle. Corgarf.
Corgarf.
Castle, between Bellabeg and Strathdon in Aberdeenshire, on the road to the Lecht Ski Centre and towards Tomintoulin Moray.
Jesus, they speak English there.
And you get there by kissing the Blarney Stone. Yeah. Is that Ireland?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good job. Good job. You kissed the Loch Ness Monster.
We haven't been culturally insensitive in a while.
That's true.
Bringing it back.
Cockbridge. That's also the whole article. That what we just read you is the entire article.
I'm just picturing a video game where you have to cross the bridge of cocks.
Yep. Just a lot of really angry roosters.
Yes, that's exactly what I was thinking.
Yep, I knew it.
Looks like we're writing an 8-bit song about Cockbridge.
That's just what I've always wanted.
Well, I think your mission is to continue to find a way for us to put lyrics into an 8-bit song.
I know.
And I'm going to gather up my bleeps and bloops.
Okay. Round them up. Go around scooping bleeps and bloops.
Go out to my garden and...
pick bleeps and bloops for the song
snip
salad.
Snip some bleeps off the vine and pull up the roots of the bloop.
The bloop roots. Out of control. Okay, so I found a way that I think we can do lyrics.
Okay.
So I found a very famous video game, Final Fantasy. In Final Fantasy VI, there's an opera scene.
Oh.
Where a character is impersonating an opera singer for some reason. I don't know. I didn't play the game. But she sings and the lyrics appear on the screen.
Uh-huh.
And you hear the notes and her mouth is moving. But you can't really understand what she's saying.
Okay.
But syllabically, it follows the lyrics.
And does it sound like a voice?
Sort of.
Okay.
So I think what we can do is we can just do it like all mushy-like.
Uh-huh.
And we'll just say what the lyrics are like we normally do. And then you'll just have to trust us that that's what we're saying. And it'll be syllabically accurate and melodically accurate, but you just won't be able to understand the words.
Okay. And that does make sense in the world of video games, too, because there were video games that had synthesized speech, which was like electronically created sounds that were supposed to mimic vocal formants or the sounds of voices. And we could just like say that we're doing that, but I'll actually record you singing it.
Yeah, sure.
Notice I said you.
Yeah.
Manipulate your voice in a way that makes it sound like synthesized speech.
And let's play a little clip of this thing so you know kind of what we're talking about.
The aria di mezzo carattere from Final Fantasy VI opera scene.
Reminds me of
who?
Go Down Moses Girl.
Oh my god.
Do you remember? Okay, in high school,
yes,
in my choir,
yes,
there was a girl who stood right behind me during some of our concerts. And I don't know if she thought that she was sounding like an opera singer or if she thought that this was like good vocal technique.
Sure.
But she didn't use consonants when she sang. So,
well, you gotta keep it in your hoot space.
Yeah. just super hootie.
Super hootie.
So she would, so if the song that I remember the most is when we're singing Go Down Moses, and it's like, go down Moses, way down in Egypt land, whatever.
You're singing so much on this
episode. I know. But she was going, na, 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 like, but for the, that's how she sang.
She was inspired by Final Fantasy.
Let my people go. No, just say, let my people go. It was crazy. And I couldn't believe it when I realized, like, what was happening. But, yeah, so this is what...
And then you turn around and say, like, how's your day going? And she goes, fantastic, Shannon, thank you. It's like, what?
I really appreciate you asking.
If you're curious about the lyrics of the aria from Final Fantasy, what you heard, the section I played was, "Oh my hero, so far away now, will I ever see your smile? Love goes away like night into day. It's just a fading dream."
It sounds like lyrics I would write.
So try to put that together with what you heard. So our plan then is to write a song about Cockbridge.
Should I sing it like Go Down Moses Girl?
I think you should sing it normally.
Okay.
And then I'll process it in a way to make it sound like Go Down Moses Girl.
Okay, awesome.
Or like a video game voice.
Yes.
More
accurately. Right. It's about the video game. Yeah. You guys, we buried the lead. holy crap.
What did you find? Because I wasn't really paying attention, but I heard you like Googling things and going, what?
I found so much stuff. So first of all, Cockbridge, not a bridge. It's...
Cockbridge is neither a cock nor a bridge. Discuss.
They
both went the same place with that.
Yes. It is a tiny hamlet, and there's not much there except for farmland. It's surrounded by distilleries. There are nearby, like, castles and stuff, but it's basically just this, like, really picturesque little hamlet. But, guys, okay, so I was looking at things to do in Cockbridge on their,
like,
aboutbritain.com, which basically looks like one step up from GeoCities. And so I learned that the defensive tower at Korgarf Castle, which is what Scott mentioned earlier when we were reading about Cockbridge, the defensive tower there in the 16th century was where Margaret Forbes was burned in 1571, along with her family, by the feuding Gordon family.
Huh.
And I was like, that's very interesting.
Yes.
So then I looked up, Margaret Forbes burned Gordon, and found a very interesting story about a feuding clan called the Gordons who showed up one cold Martinmas, which is...
Is that like Christmas, but with Martin instead of Christ?
Nope. St. Martin's Day.
Oh.
November 11th. And they were like, hey, we want your house because we're cold. And she was like, no, you can't have my house. And then the guy was like, hey, well then just like sleep with me tonight. And she was like, no, I'm married and my husband's awesome. You can't be here. Then the Gordon guy paid one of her servants to start setting the house on fire with
what?
Her and her three children and all of their servants in the house.
Oh, my God.
So he does this, and Margaret tries to throw her youngest daughter to safety, like in a sheet, basically,
yeah,
to be caught. And the Gordon guy impales the baby on his sword as she falls.
Oh no.
Yeah. And so they all burn to death and die. And then Gordon's like, peace, and leaves.
Doesn't even take the house?
No. It's burned.
Well, it's still warmer than outside.
And then her husband comes home and sees that his castle's on fire and then goes after and chases this Gordon gang and slays all but 5 of the original 50 men in the gang, supposedly.
By himself?
Well, no. I'm sure he had his own people.
Oh, okay.
He had people.
He's got
a castle. He's got people.
They're all burned.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, what? So then I was doing more Googling, and I realized there's already an epic ballad called Edom O'Gordon, which is probably Adam Gordon,
right,
was the guy's
probably
name. And like, it's a famous Scottish ballad.
Wow.
That like people know.
About the tragedy of Cockbridge.
Yeah. And I like listened to some like very sad sounding Scottish lady sing it for like 5 minutes. It's a long ballad.
Wow.
So that's awesome. I mean, and by awesome, I mean not awesome, but like
epic.
It's epic. And so that is what our Cockbridge song is going to be about, obviously.
So we need to write an 8-bit song using these like traditional musical elements that could only be created on these early computers, but with a synthesized voice singing about this epic battle. Well, not really a battle, but slaughter.
Yeah.
At Cockbridge.
Oh, and I forgot to mention that Margaret, whenever she was negotiating with Gordon, she was up in the tower and he was on the ground on a horse. And she was like, yo, someone hand me my gun. I'm going to shoot this guy. And she missed. She only hit his knee. And he was like, that's going to cost you. I'm going to burn your house down.
Wow.
Yeah.
What year was that? 15?
1571.
They had guns then?
Yeah,
they had guns. That's crazy. I thought guns came around like later.
No, gunpowder was like a thing for a really long time. Chinese fireworks.
I feel like cannons. In 1571, you would just like throw a chicken at someone and call it a day.
I mean, he might not have burned her house down if she'd just thrown a chicken at him. It's a good point. Or a cock.
History. Cockbridge. Chicken yeah, bridge.
Chicken bridge. Okay.
Burning Cockbridge.
Rotisserie bridge.
Boston Market Bridge.
Oh no, but they'd burn to death.
Oh,
oh no. Oh no. Too soon?
It's not too soon.
No.
It's never too soon.
All right, so I'm going to write an epic song about this encounter that has to be more epic, obviously, than the really epic ballad that's already. Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to play with each of these wave sounds and give our listeners an example of what I'm going to use each wave for in the creation of our piece. And I've also found a set of percussion sounds from the original Commodore 64 online that I've sampled in, and I'm going to use them to make our like quote unquote drum beat.
That's
underneath
awesome.
this song using original Commodore 64 sound. So I'm going to go through each of my individual wave elements. So here's what I'm going to do with the pulse wave. Here's what I'm going to do with the square wave. This is the saw wave. This is the triangle wave. And I'm going to use a sine wave to echo the melody of the sung synthesized vocals. I've also come up with a drum beat using those Commodore 64 sound samples, which sounds like this. And together, they'll be the song. So you're just gonna have to wait and see. Calm down, be patient.
So I have lyrics.
Great.
And they're probably the most lyrics I've ever written for a song.
Of course.
But it's going to sound like I'm singing them with mashed potatoes in my mouth.
Yep.
So listen up to them now, because this is your last
this
chance.
This is all you get.
Yeah. Okay. All right. One Martin Mass, a hardy lass named Maggie meets her end. When Gordon rides up to her place, she knows he is no friend. He wants her house and under her blouse, she answers with her gun. But just a graze makes tempers blaze. That's when the fire began. And Maggie tries to save their lives, but her children also perish. The smallest on Gordon's cruel sword, the others burn to ash.
Oh.
So now when you take in the view from forest or mountain ridge, you'll know the truth about what occurred when Martin Mass and Cockbridge.
That's amazing.
Boom!
Definitely your most polished lyrics.
Absolutely.
On a song salad.
My most proficient lyrics. But I think that, like, captured the epic poem quality.
Yeah,
like,
for sure. Well, definitely the ballad kind of quality.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what is the lilty, rhymey scheme you're going on here?
A-A-B-C-B.
A-A-B-C-B.
Yes, A-A-B-C-B. And I'm using some slant rhyme, gun and began.
Perish and ash.
Yeah. But I think it works, especially because, I mean, you should hear the way that Scottish lady was twisting some words to make them sound like they rhymed. So I think my augmentations are minor in comparison.
Now, that's not the structure of a limerick, is it? Because it has that familiar...
It's a lilting quality. Yeah. Which, like, I...
Like, there once was a man from Nantucket. I'm not going to continue that.
A-A-B-B-A.
So the same number of lines, just different
rhymes. Yeah, maybe that's why it sounds familiar. Because it's the same number of lines as a lyric. It's five lines.
The limerick packs laughs anatomical into space that is quite economical. But the good ones I've seen so seldom are clean, and the clean ones so seldom are comical. That's a clever little limerick. Yeah, thanks, Wikipedia.
I did not purposefully write in a meter, a specific meter.
Okay.
I could do the scansion on this. I don't really particularly want to.
Let's not.
Scansion is breaking things into, oh gosh, what are they called? Feet and iams? I am not going to scan this song.
Okay.
And by scan, I mean perform scansion on the song, which means to go through a poem and mark up where, and mark the meter onto the poem. So iambic pentameter is probably the most well-recognized meter.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Yep.
Got it.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. There's 10 things.
Yeah.
Ba-da-ba-da-ba-da. And you can go through, and there are certain markings that you use, and you go through each line. I don't know. I don't want to do that. I don't want to explain iams. I don't want to explain feet. It's not that interesting. If you're super, super itching to have me...
Itching for some scansion.
Yeah, if you're itching for some scansion, if you really want to listen to me scan this song, tweet at us. And I will personally scan the song and tweet you a picture of the scanned song.
Unless your name is Todd.
Yeah, Todd, you're not getting this scansion. Or how about Todd? You can scan it for me.
There you go.
Send it back. But in any case, suffice to say, it mimics a limerick structure because it's five lines. Does not have the same rhyming structure. Does not have the same rhyming structure as a traditional ballad. And I don't know if Scottish people would be mad about that because limericks are Irish or whatever.
Great.
Well, I think it fits the aesthetic of what we're trying to
for
do,
sure.
is what I'm trying to say. Should we do this?
Let's do it. The music's ready. Time to record and then manipulate your voice.
So remember the lyrics because you'll never hear them again.
Here we go. For the first time. What is our title?
I think our title should be Kirby.
So that's like Cockbridge, but it's pronounced in video game synthesized voice speech?
Kirby.
Here it is.
Kirby. Go down Moses girl would be very proud of me.
Proud or angry?
No, proud, because clearly she thinks that's how singing happens.
Well, now it does. Now that's how singing happens.
Volume
now
4.
Now and forever. Now that's how singing happens.
That was really fun.
It was really fun. I was skeptical. I thought it was going to be really hard to achieve, and it was hard to achieve with all those sounds, but like, you know, once it came together, it was very cool.
Your garden of bleeps and bloops was magnificent.
I made my garden grow.
You did.
And your vocals were unrecognizable.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Did it sound like my cheeks are full of mashed potatoes?
Ben Brantley says, Shannon Deep's vocals are unrecognizable.
Is this human English? Says Isherwood. Oh, man. Yeah. If you liked this and you like video games, share this with someone who likes video games.
Share this. I mean, the 8-bit music community is pretty big.
Yeah.
It's a thing. And people are into this kind of music, and we probably did not do it. Ooh.
Sorry.
Speaking of bleeps and bloops, we probably didn't do it justice in terms of the actual creative elements and artistry that goes into it, but
people
it was
are
fun.
Very nostalgic for this kind of music. Like, it True. Makes them think of their childhoods playing
it's
video games.
It's definitely evocative of a time and place.
Yeah.
Just those
for
sounds.
For sure.
Which are so simply created, just mm-hmm. like waveforms, simple waveforms.
It's really cool. It was the soundtrack of long car rides.
Yeah, that's true. Thank you for listening to Song Salad.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
And you can follow us on Twitter at Song Salad Cast.
And together. We're Shannon and Scott.
Boop, 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 boop.
One, two, three, four.